Soccer feels small this week, but sometimes small is what we need, and that we need some distraction after the terrible mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Some MLS clubs are going to be doing some donation campaigns, including Houston Dynamo, FC Dallas, and Austin FC, among other clubs, and also they're raising their voices. Plus, we're going to talk also about the US Open Cup. We have the quarterfinals. Who's our favorite? We'll get our picks. And it's going to be really, really interesting matches.
Also, we talk about the best 11s in each conference in the MLS so far. Are there any surprises? We'll talk about them. And Montreal's new logo has people talking. We give you our opinions in this new version of Footbox USA.
You are listening to Footbox USA, an exclusive podcast from Footbox.
We have the quarterfinals for the US Open Cup. We'll talk about who is the favorite in Footbox USA, also the best 11 in the West and in the East. And there's a change in Montreal's history, and there's a new logo coming, and we'll talk about if it's a good choice or not. And finally, we'll talk also about a campaign that the Texan teams are doing after the Uvalde massacre. This is Footbox USA with Patrick Meehan. My name is Diego Arrioja, but I want to start with the top of mind, obviously, topic that transcends soccer and any other sport, and is the unfortunate massacre in Uvalde this past Tuesday, and how all the MLS clubs have obviously have used their social media accounts to not only honor the victims but also start donation campaigns. And in particular, I wanted to talk about what the Texan teams are doing, in particular Houston Dynamo, FC Dallas, and Austin FC. That they'll be doing a special donation campaign for this MLS Week 14. And Patrick, just wanted to mention, obviously, this transcends sports and is really impacting not only, I would say, the U.S. society, but I think how the world currently stands with gun violence, right? So I think this is a good initiative from the MLS clubs, and I think also how even players are using their social media to really express their opinion, their concern about what's happening in the U.S.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, the clubs are united in helping and remembering the victims and donating funds to the community and to the people affected by this, but also using their voices to really push for gun control, to push for what's needed in the US. And honestly, I mean, obviously it's a good initiative, but I don't know about you, but I feel like everybody's just tired of doing these initiatives and having to wear badges in remembrance of victims. Like, we just want this to stop. And so if this can send a message to some people to really put together some gun control laws for not just the community but for the whole country, then yes, we're all for it. And hopefully we can donate, and the people who are listening now can also donate to this cause.
Yeah, totally, Patrick. I'm with you as well on this. And enough is enough. I think that we must demand change, right? And every one of us that live in the US and are able to do something, I think we need to raise our voice and demand change, because this cannot keep happening. So I think it's a good initiative from the clubs, but also I think also that the players, and I had the opportunity, and just we'll get into the topics that we discussed at the beginning, but just I had the opportunity this week to go to the Sounders FC training, the practice this week, and I heard in firsthand from Stephen Fry, right, the goalkeeper, and how he used the time when it was time to talk about the upcoming game against Charlotte FC, but he talked about the gun problem in this country, right? And I think what he said, like, at the end of the day, if we have a platform, we need to use it, and we need to use it for to demand change, but also, you know, we need to incentivize the whole community to demand that change. So I think it was good to hear from him, and also concern from a lot of the soccer players. At the end of the day, they're human beings, and also they impact their lives. In particular, if you're a parent, that's definitely something that, you know, sticks with you. So hopefully this is just a little help to demand that change. Now let's talk about Patrick, about the US Open Cup. So in one of our episodes for Footbox USA, we talked about who were the favorites to advance to the quarterfinals. Now we have those quarterfinals in place. We have a couple surprises that I wanted to talk about. I think it's interesting. We mentioned, I think we agreed in most of the teams that were favorites in those in the round of 16. But I think there's surprises, right? Including Sacramento and also Union Omaha, that they pull it off. But let's start with the games that are going to be really interesting. So we're going to have the New York, the Big Apple Classic between New York City FC and New York Red Bulls. We were expecting this, right? Like both teams to advance and having this type of match.
Yeah. I think this is the most exciting match in the quarterfinals for sure. Two big teams fighting it out, from the same city, from two teams that are really just want some trophies, especially New York City FC, who just won the MLS Cup, and then also the surprises, like you mentioned, Sacramento Republic and Union Omaha, who we'll get into predictions in a little bit, but there's some exciting games coming up. Also, we have Orlando City against Nashville, which is another MLS matchup. That's definitely going to be a good one.
Yeah, so let's go over the Trafico, right? Because this was also the, I would say, in the round of 16, the game that it was the game to watch, right? Between Chicharito and Carlos Vela, but the Galaxy team pulled it off. I think this is a surprise. You, I remember, Patrick, you said LAFC is going to advance. I was rooting more for Chicharito. At the end of the day, it's an LA Galaxy win, but this game was honestly, it can go like both ways, right? And it's also unfortunate because now Carlos Vela is actually injured. He's not playing this weekend, right, after that game. But El Tráfico definitely was one of the matches to watch in the rounds of 16.
Yeah, they won it. Chicharito scored as well. Charundolo really went out with, he told us, or Michele Giannone told us that Charundolo had told them that they want every trophy and the atmosphere is theirs to win it all in every competition they play. So it was a big win for Galaxy, a big win for Chicharito. You know, obviously bragging rights are huge for them, and they got it. And I think it was a good one. I think for Chicharito as well, very important to be able to score a goal. And a Galaxy advance against LAFC, who now, you said, will have to be this weekend without Carlos Vela, but they can focus now on the MLS.
Yeah. Unfortunately for LAFC, he wanted to fight for both trophies, but now with Galaxy and just going with Chicharito, right? The storyline with Chicharito, I think it's good that he was able to score again, right? And also after this week, that there's a lot of rumors and reports that he finally spoke with Tata Martino, right? And hopefully, I mean, I know we talked about this before, but the Chicharito novella keeps going on and it continues, right, with the Mexican national team. So apparently there were talks, and I think this goal also helps him with not only boost of confidence, but also to regain that status as he started one of the main goal scorers in the MLS.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if he can lead the Galaxy to win the MLS trophy, the MLS Cup, but he can definitely guide them and get them into a good position in the US Open Cup, which obviously for the Galaxy is not the most important trophy, but for Chicharito could be really good to kind of cement his place in LA Galaxy history. Scoring goals, beating out their rivals is good for him. It's good for the Mexican national team. So exciting to see for sure, because Chicharito obviously has had it rough for a few years, and now he's really being what he does best, you know, which is scoring goals.
And now they're going to play against Sacramento Republic, as you were saying, Patrick. And we call this, right? Sacramento Republic is going to be the surprise against San Jose, and they pull it off. So now they're going to play against Galaxy. This is another Californian clash that's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah. Sacramento Republic, who eliminated San Jose. It's interesting to see. I love seeing this type of games, like an MLS team against a non-MLS team from lower divisions in the MLS or in the US in the US leagues. And it's definitely an exciting one. But I think for me, Sporting KC, Union Omaha, it's going to be another surprise. Union Omaha are going to advance to the semifinals. They're definitely the story in the US Open Cup. they're doing some great stuff, and I'm excited for that game because I do believe they're gonna end up advancing again.
Okay, so you have a surprise. Okay, so let's pick our favorites then, Patrick. So Galaxy against Sacramento Republic, are you sticking with Galaxy or you want a surprise with Sacramento?
No, I think Galaxy will advance in this one. Okay. What about you?
I'm going to go with Sacramento Republic, actually. I want an upset. So we'll see. So you got a Galaxy, you got Sacramento. Then the classic in the East Coast, New York City FC. And as you said, this is the biggest game for sure. New York City FC, the current MLS champions against New York Red Bulls. I'll still right away. I'm going to go with the MLS, the current MLS champions. I think they're going to advance, but it's going to be a pretty interesting game. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with you as well, but it's definitely going to be a tight one.
Awesome. And then you already said Union Omaha against Sporting Kansas City, huh?
Yeah, I think they'll continue to impress. They'll do another upset, and Sporting KC will be eliminated.
I like upsets. I'm going to go with you as well, Union Omaha, to get this one. And finally, Orlando against Nashville. Who you got in this good game?
I gotta go with Orlando. I think they're better in general. I mean, it's a complicated one. I don't know if Nashville it just depends on what they're gonna field. I know Nashville advanced. Finally, Akeloba scored in the U.S. Open Cup against Louisville City. They didn't have the best of times against them, so I don't see Nashville going through. I know they're good defensively and obviously are a solid team, but Orlando, I think, will pull it off.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Nashville actually, Patrick. So yeah, I think Orlando's a good team. I think Nashville has. I still hope that they can get back to that style of play that they showed last season, and I think the potential is there. So hopefully they can pull it off, and I think this is that great tournament for them also to advance far in the US Open Cup. So there you go. These are our favorites, and it's going to be good matches, and hopefully we get also good upsets as well. Now let's talk about there's been a, you know, we already week 14 is about to start, but the best 11 in the West and the best 11 in the East so far. So the best 11 of players. Do you want to mention, Patrick, the Western Conference? Who are those players right now? Who would be the best 11?
So for the Western Conference, we have Sinclair, for the goalkeeper for Minnesota, who I think is an excellent choice. He's been really good the last few seasons, showing signs of brilliance, but now is definitely a reality. Then you have... So the back line is Palacios, Zimmerman, Fall, and Muriel, who it's two players from LAFC, two players from Nashville. Solid back line. And then the midfield, you have Ruiz from Real Salt Lake, Pomical from Dallas, De Rossi from Austin, who's definitely an MVP candidate. And then up top, Arriola, Ferreira, and Roldan. Good, solid offensive line as well, with two players from Dallas.
Awesome, man. This is, yeah, again, this best 11 is from the MLSsoccer.com website, and Andrew Weave, one of the journalists who put this together. On the Eastern Conference, right, we have Andrew Blake as a goalkeeper from Philly Union. And defense, we have DeJuan Jones from New England Revolution. Alexander Callens, Peruvian from New York City FC, Jack Elliott from Philly, and also Nathan Harriel from Philly. In the midfield, we have Jose Martinez from Philadelphia Union, Keaton Parks from New York City FC, Jorian Mihailovic from Montreal FC in the midfield, and then on top three forwards with Luciano Acosta from FC Cincinnati, Valentin Tati Castellanos, of course, has to be there, New York City FC, and then Adam Buxa from New England Revolution. If they were to play against each other, Patrick, who you got in this, you know, best 11?
That's a good question. It's I'm gonna have to go with the Western Conference for this one. I think in general they're a more solid team, but I mean, if you look at the Eastern Conference as well, you have a very heavy Philly lineup, which obviously one of the best teams in the league, and then you add Tati Castellanos up top, and then you definitely find a dangerous team. It's a good one, but I'm going to go with the Western Conference.
Okay, good. I'm going to go with the Eastern Conference because I think you just made a really good point. I think they have a really solid Philly Union players and New York City FC and Union Revolution, basically. And then it won from Montreal. But that's a, I would say, pretty solid players. And with Tati Castellanos, that right now he's, you know, really, really good goal scorer. And he's just, you know, it's so hard to cover him. So I would go with the Eastern. But it would be, we can play on FIFA, I think, with these players. But
yeah, I like that idea. I think, but what it definitely tells you is that, you know, both conferences are very solid. They both have great players on both sides. And then you also look at the names. They're definitely not the biggest names in the league, like in terms of known players, like, for example, Higuain, Carlos Vela, Chicharito, like all this, but I forgot the player from Chicago Fire that we just talked about. Shaqiri, sorry. You don't see those type of players, those big names, which tells you a lot about how MLS is now doing their thing, you know?
Yeah, no, and I like that. I like that a lot. So finally, just to close this this episode, Montreal Impact is changing their logo for 2023. If you go to the website MLSsoccer.com, you can see actually with your own eyes, and it's like a Back to the Future logo, right? So what do you think about the logo? I think it's good that they are using obviously the symbols from Quebec, right? The Le Fleur de Lis and the colors. But it's been it's interesting with logos, I would say, in MLS and also like in American sports, because you know, compared to European clubs in soccer or in Mexico as well, they don't really change that much. And here it's more like a franchise, and all of a sudden it could change completely, as we saw with Chicago Fire, for example. What do you think about that part? Do you like the new Montreal logo? Do you like where it's going? Or
yeah, I like it. I think it's a good logo. I think what I don't enjoy a lot is like how they rebrand after a few seasons again, just because of the fans not loving it. I mean, I understand if fans don't love a change, that typically happens. But as a franchise, or as the people who are in charge of this, you kind of have to stick by your guns. I think I like this one more than the past one, so it definitely is good, and it's progress and all that. But there's obviously gonna be negative comments. There's negative comments about this one as well. Hopefully they don't listen to the fans again and change it next season or whatever. But yeah, I think this is a good one. This is good enough to go them for some years.
Yeah, I agree. Back to your old self and to their history from starting 1993 Montreal Impact. So that's all for Footbox USA. Patrick, a pleasure. Thanks again for being part of this amazing podcast. As always, my name is Igor Rioja, and tune in the next time.
Thanks for listening to Footbox USA, an exclusive podcast from Footbox.